Well, brothers and sisters, we have had fellowship with the Lord this morning and one another. Praise God. What a blessing. And I don't know how many of the brothers that share have said this as I have over the years. It's amazing how the Lord prepares for the word to be shared. This message has been in pieces of it have been on my heart for quite a while. And I would just like to lift up this opportunity and time that we have. Lord, we ask that you would bring together all that you have been speaking this morning. And Lord, that you would share further with us, that you would give us understanding, Lord, that we might hear what you are saying in your word. And Lord, that you're speaking to us and that you faithfully provide all that we need. And Lord, that you carry us beyond ourselves. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for your loving kindness and that your purpose will not be thwarted. And it will be forever. We will be together with you forever. In your name we pray. Amen. The elements of this message have been on my heart for a long time. Most of what I want to say, what I believe the Lord has given me, is summarized or testified in John chapter 6, the Gospel of John chapter 6. I didn't tell you guys, but John chapter 6 is where a lot of this is coming from. For a moment, I'm going to go a couple other places. But what prompted the message as I was reading the Gospel of John in chapter 6, the Lord has just fed the 5,000, and a number of things are taking place here, and I want to go back and bring some of those together, but this is the main point. In verse 26, Jesus is speaking to the people who have followed him. They were fed the day before, and they followed him to the other side of the lake. And Jesus answered, this is verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." They said therefore to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And that's what captured me, that last verse. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Well, my immediate reaction is, that's not enough. Pardon me, I wasn't quite that irreverent. But believe on him whom he has sent. Well, sure, I believe in Jesus. I have believed in Jesus for decades. What are you talking about here, Lord? What are you saying? And you know, there's a little bit of difficulty in that. If you look at James, he speaks about faith. And faith without works and faith with works. And he says, even the demons believe and shudder. Well, there's something wrong with that. And I went and I looked at the word. I thought, well, surely it's got to be some special word. That can't be the same believe that I believe. But it is the same word. Okay? But the Holy Spirit is speaking something else. We're not talking about just identity, believing in Jesus that he was a person, that he came to the earth and so forth. It's more than just that. It is believing on him whom the Word describes, whom the Word tells us about, that we believe that he is, that he has, that he does. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior to the uttermost. He will carry us to eternity. We are seated at the right hand of God, seated at his right hand on the throne. Believe these things. Well, it's not it seems like these words should be easy to believe. But it's not. Because the Lord has done so many. He's not talking about just believing that he can heal. It's believing that he is healing, that he is doing, that he wants fellowship with us, that he participates with us. And we see that. We've come to see that. We've had testimony to that. That he is here. He is with us. You know, that's a marvelous testimony, that little testimony from our sister Jamie. I mean, the Lord has touched her heart. And she believes on him whom God has sent. Well, why is it that there's this... Why is it difficult? Why? Maybe difficult's not the right word. But it's complicated, maybe is the way to say it. And it's okay. Believe on the Lord as you've seen him, as you've known him, as you hear of him, as the word speaks to you. And you know, Walter got up and shared out of Revelation. I mean, the Lord spoke to Walter. Touched his heart with that. And, you know, every day we walk in this place, he is walks with us. He is speaking to us. He is sharing with us. Our joy comes from knowing and being in his presence. And he is gracious and pleased to give that. To delight us in his presence. Why is it that he does this? Because he loves us. And he loves us beyond what we understand. Because, you know, well, again, with Jamie's testimony, she kept diminishing this testimony. Well, that testimony is powerful. That testimony is ringing in heaven right now. And I remind you of scripture here, that this is in Isaiah. Just give you guys some exercise. Isaiah 55. And verse 7. And again, you're very familiar with this. 55 verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We want to believe that, and he wants to help us to believe that. Why? Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. for my and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'll go on. I was thinking about not including this, but verse 10, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without it succeeding in the matter for which I have sent it. I know Jimmy has quoted those scriptures countless times. The word is God's word, and it goes forth and it does what he purposes for it. And this verse 10, the rain and the snow come down from heaven. I'll get carried away if I go down there. The rain and the snow, you know, that's a very complicated system that the Lord has put in place. That we have weather, we have rain, we have snow, we have spring, we have summer, we have fall, we have winter. And the rain comes and the water from heaven waters the earth and it bears and it sprouts just as God created it to do. It is beyond our understanding. We can look at it and we can get a sense of what it all means, but it's beyond our understanding. His ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. And he tries to help us to understand, but of course, I don't know how high heaven is, but it's higher, as high as the heavens are above the earth, are his ways higher than our ways. Well, we can see the second heaven with telescopes, but we can't see the third heaven. Only as the Apostle Paul and John saw. Let me go on. Okay. His ways are higher than our ways. What does that have to do with John chapter 6 and believing in him who he has sent? I'm going to take pieces of this. I don't know how much I'm going to read. But beginning John chapter 6, this is well worth reading, just as this whole book is well worth reading. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, and a great multitude was following him because they were seeing the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Okay. This is setting the stage. Jesus has been speaking. His ministry has begun. He is being heard by Israel, Judah. He is coming forth and he is speaking the words of God. And people are being drawn to him. They're being drawn to him because they're being healed physically. They're being drawn to him because they're being touched spiritually. They're being drawn to him because he's speaking with power, it says in other places in the scripture. So this crowd has gathered, has come to him. And in verse 5, Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing what a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? Okay. Where are we to buy bread? And this, I'm going to come back to verse 6. Philip answered him, verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. Now, if I'm not mistaken, a denarius is a day's wage. So almost a full year's wage would not be enough to give this crowd even a little. Well, that seems kind of, well, it's putting sort of, it's a description of how much would be necessary to be provided out of the pockets of people to cover this, to provide this bread. I'm going to leave that alone because I'd like to add stuff that doesn't need to be added. The point is, 200 denarii. So here's Philip. Philip is trying to think, how in the world can we do this? We don't have that kind of money. There's not even a place to buy the bread. And that would only just give them a little. They're not going to be fed. They're hungry. Back to verse 6. And this he, Jesus, was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. That's important. Hang on to that thought. Jesus was testing, and he knew what he was intending to do. I'm going to go on. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? Now, there's 2 different approaches. How are we, the disciples, going to feed them? Philip tells the Lord, well, we don't have enough money, and we can't even, and even if we had some money, we couldn't feed them all, couldn't give them very much. We are lacking. Yeah, we are. Simon Peter says, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves. I want to tell you, I believe that these are acts of faith. They seem pitiful. And many of my acts of faith seem pitiful. And they are, in comparison to heaven, high above the heavens, as high above the earth as the heavens are the ways of the Lord. Certainly does not compare, but he is the provider. He is the giver of faith. He is, verse 6, he knew what he was intending to do. He was testing. He wanted to bring out the faith of this brother, Philip. He was challenging him to consider, to believe on who he is. He hadn't said it yet, but that's what he was calling him to do. And Andrew, he comes out and he brings this little boy. Now, I believe the Lord gave this thought to me about this little boy, but who was this little boy? He's overlooked. His lunch is what we seem to focus on. He has 5 barley loaves. Well, I've understood from our brother who's done research on this that probably they're more like biscuits or cooked, you know, just little cakes. They're not loaves like we think of a loaf. Well, in the face of needing to feed 5,000 people, it's a pittance. How did Andrew find out that this little boy had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish? I believe the little boy was touched by the Lord. And he came forth and he gave this. He didn't have to. It wasn't like Andrew said, hey, you got some food. We need that. That's not what happened. This boy gave this. Andrew brought it in faith. The Lord was touching. He knew what he wanted to do. Verse 6, he himself knew what he wanted to do. He's bringing forth faith. We get to see here, historically, I mean, this happened. This is not a parable. This is not a teaching. This is the Lord showing us people coming to know him, coming to believe him, coming to trust him, coming to see him. Jesus said, have the people sit down. And so all these this 5,000, they sit on the grass, and Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, verse 11, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. And of course, we're amazed by that, because from nothing came forth the feeding of all these people. They had all they could eat. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, again, because he was touching them, building faith within them, believing that they would believe in him and trust him for all their supply, gather up the leftover fragments, verse 12, that nothing may be lost. And I'm not sure that's not a really important point, but the Lord hasn't given me any light on that, that none of it would be lost. If nothing else, it's holy. Anyway, not sure where that goes, but maybe the Lord will give you that to you. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets. And these are not small baskets, with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. When therefore the people saw the sign that he had performed, they said, this is of a truth the prophet who has come into the world. They testified. They saw and they understood not who it was entirely, but that he surely was from God. And he is the prophet, they think. They don't realize he's the Son of God, but he is. Jesus, therefore, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force and to make him king, withdrew again to the mountains by himself alone. Jesus knew what was going on. His ways are higher than our ways, right? He knew all that was going to happen here. He had prepared. This was not something he was doing off the cuff. If the Lord does anything off the cuff, I mean, what a silly concept. He knows he is doing, he is fulfilling the purpose of God, that mankind would be redeemed through him. And we're seeing a touch, a piece of that. We're seeing a little boy's lunch before 5,000 people. God will raise up. He will cause his glory to be seen. There's a lot going on here. It goes on and it talks about Jesus, them going across the lake and Jesus coming to the disciples. He is, of course, teaching them things that the crowds didn't see. But they saw parts of it. They saw sort of like Moses. You know, he couldn't see the face of God, but they saw him passing. But the disciples, they saw him face to face. And they were, you know, they were in the boat with him. He was teaching them. He was leading them. He was building up their faith. He was causing them to believe that it's not about 200 denarii or 400 denarii or 1,000 denarii. I can feed these people. I will feed my people. The other thing, I forgot to say this. How'd these people get here? I mean, I know they walked. Some of them came by boat, perhaps. But the point is, they were drawn by God, just as the scripture says. It says later on in John, no one can come to me, verse 44 of chapter 6, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. These people were drawn to be here. They were drawn to see him, to hear him, to be fed by him. And they needed to. They needed to. So we come down to the exchange in verse 22. The next day, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there. There was no way they... How did Jesus get there? He walked on the water. But that's not the... That's a marvelous point and a wonderful sign and a powerful expression of who he is. But that's not what I'm driving at here. When they found him, verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them and said, I read this earlier, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. He has called them out. You need to see who I am. You need to see the signs that I am doing. I am. He's not, well, I am. He is the Son of God. He is I am. The Holy Spirit is with him. The Holy Spirit is drawing them to him. And he tells them about, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. He is providing for us. He always will provide for us. He will be God for us, to us. He will lead us. He will heal us. And it is the struggles that we have, we need to believe in him, to trust him. Well, it seems a little disappointing, their reaction to Jesus' words, to believe them and that don't work for the bread which perishes. Because they go on here and he's told them the works of God are to believe on him whom he has sent. And then in verse 30, they show their complete ignorance of what he's been saying to them. What then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Well, I've been healing. I just fed 5,000 people. I've taken 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and provided for a multitude. They completely miss and fall back upon the law, fall back upon the teachings and of the scribes and the Pharisees. They miss what's right in front of them. He's performing signs of the King, of the Messiah, of the Son of God. And he tells them quite boldly or very directly, they try to justify themselves by saying, well, God loves us enough that he gave us manna in the desert through Moses. And Jesus says, well, truly I say to you, verse 32, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven. Moses is the one they had their faith in. Because he was the deliverer. They missed that there was a heavenly deliverer Moses surely was a heaven-sent deliverer on the earth, at the level of earth. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Verse 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me, of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. I'm going to stop there and finish there. The Lord is thoroughly, fully declaring himself here, who he is. And we have difficulty understanding the breadth and height and depth of all that he has said. But he is the one who is bringing us forward. He is the one who called to Philip and said, how are we going to feed them? He knew what he was going to do. Andrew brought the little boy who had a lunch he was willing to offer. The little boy offered his lunch. Jesus fed them all. Jesus was teaching. He was leading. He was showing himself. And he wants us to realize that he's doing the same for us all the time, every day, every hour. There's the things that we see. We see darkness all around us. But he is greater than the darkness. It troubles us, the circumstances that we are in. But we are made righteous. I'm amazed that in 1 Peter, I think it's 1 Peter. Anyway, he speaks of Lot. And, you know, I wouldn't have given 2 cents for Lot's chances. You know, Lot just didn't seem to get it. But Peter, through the Holy Spirit, knows that Lot was a righteous man. And it goes on to describe his righteous soul was tormented. Our righteous souls are being tormented. We can hold on to him and trust him, and he will deliver. Just as he delivered Lot, he will deliver us if it's just us and our family. Even though we're still going to be half-hearted at times, even though we're going to turn away at times, we are saved. We are in him. He has put our feet on the rock. We just need to realize we're on the rock and that he is the rock. He is the deliverer. He is the Savior, our Redeemer. No matter what you see and how difficult things become, he is our Redeemer. And he will deliver us. Lord, we do thank you and praise you that your word is very straightforward and that you seek to show us yourself through all things and you lead us in the way that we should go. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, that your love for us is beyond our understanding. and that we can rejoice in it. We can worship in it. We can gather together and testify to your great power and love and care. You are the Lamb worthy, able to open the scroll. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Help us to walk together with you and each other. And Lord, let us encourage each other. And Lord, give us even the what seems to be a little testimony that many may be edified. In your precious name, Lord, we do lift it up. Amen.